Greetings to everyone joining us for a new episode of the European Hoops Podcast. We cover the EuroLeague and the top FIBA events. I am André, and with me, our basketball expert, Diogo Valente.
Hi, André. Hi, guys. Hope everything is okay with y'all. We are here for another episode of the European Hoops Podcast. Hopefully, you guys stay with us and tune in for the rest of our episodes. André, let us know, man. What are we talking about today?
Today, we will continue our series previewing every team that will take part on the next edition of the EuroLeague. This is our second episode of 10 that are coming out every day from Monday to Thursday until the start of the EuroLeague season on October 5. As you guys know, we are a sportive presentation, and for you not to miss any of these special episodes that we are bringing, as well as our in-season coverage, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, you follow us on Twitter at Ethos EuroLeague. Also, if you missed our first episode of this series and you would like to get up to date with Real Madrid and Asvel, make sure to tune into that episode as well. Today, we have one of the most enticing episodes of this series. I speak for myself, but I believe I will speak also for Diogo. We will get to hear it from him, previewing the season ahead for Olympiacos and Panathinaikos. Are you ready to get into it?
I mean, what better episode do we have than this classic of these two Greek giants? Let's go, man. It's going to be very fun.
We start by looking at Olympiacos after they finishing the previous season in second place after a dominant regular season. They lost some key players such as Kostas Loukas and Sasha Vezenkov, but they come into the season again aiming to stay as contenders. And one of the players that they brought in was Nigel Williams-Goss, a guard that played the last two seasons for Real Madrid after having started his professional career with Partizan and having played on the 2018-2019 season with Olympiacos. During his EuroLeague career that he has played for three seasons already, he averages 7.5 points, 1.8 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 0.6 steals. Diogo, do you think that Nigel Williams-Goss is the guard that Olympiacos needed?
I'm not sure. And the reason I say this is because if you look at Olympiacos' team, not from this past season, but the year before, when they had Tyler Rorsey, I think Nigel can bring them a lot of what Tyler brought them in that year. And I think he can be a very good scorer for them. But I believe Olympiacos needed a bigger guard, or if you can say a wing. I think a guy that's more... I think they needed a two guard, but who is closer to being a three than a one. And I believe Nigel Williams-Goss is more of a backcourt guy. And I think they needed some more size at that position because they already have Walkup and Kanan, who is already a small guy. So I believe they needed a bigger guard. And that's what they are still looking for in the market. So maybe that guy eventually comes in. But I do think Nigel can help them, though, for sure, because he is a very good scorer. And we talked about this all year past season, that they needed a go-to guy. And even though Nigel wouldn't be my ideal guy for them, because like I said, I think they need a guy with a bit more size, but he is a very good scorer and he can help them on that aspect for sure. So again, I think this is a positive addition and I think he's going to be able to help them a lot.
It certainly is an interesting dynamic with this Olympiacos team. They are looking for at least one more piece that will connect it all together. And we know that they are on the market for that piece and it might come before the start of the season or with the season already ongoing. But we will go over all the parts that they have added to this roster. And we know that they were able to keep very important players like Thomas Walkup, Larenzakis, Papanikolaou, Makinski, Isaiah Cannon. They brought in two more players that we are about to get to in Lucas Sigma and Nikola Milutinov. They also kept Alec Peters. They kept Mustafa Fall. So this is a cohesive group that has some continuity that will be important for them. And let's look into the next player that they brought in. It's another player that is well known by our listeners and by the followers of the EuroLeague, Luke Sigma. He spent the last four seasons with Alba Berlin And across those four seasons, he averaged 8.8 points, 5.9 rebounds, 4.2 assists, and one steal per game. He's one of our favorites with his high IQ basketball play and the high level that he plays with. He's an excellent playmaker. But Duke, it's never an easy task to replace the EuroLeague MVP, is it?
I love this signing. I mean, obviously, everybody knows how big of a fans we are from Luke Sigma. And it's very good for us, for the podcast and for the league, to have Luke Sigma playing on a contender. And I believe he's going to be great for Olympiacos because the style of play that they have fits perfectly with his game. He's a very high IQ player who plays the four position. So I think he's going to be a guy that connects everything together. And I do believe if they add the go-to guy that we talked about earlier, I think this signing gets even better just because of the fact that now you actually replaced Sasha with a guy who has a high IQ like Sasha, and then you add a scorer who can give you what Sasha was giving you. So this team would be a perfect team, I would say, if they're able to do that. And yeah, for sure, they'll be contenders again.
Absolutely. They are one piece away of achieving that. And I'll make you a very, very hard question right now. I know that you like those, so I will give it to you. Who is a better playmaker, Sasha Vzenkov or Luke Sigma?
I think it's Luke Sigma. I think, and Sasha is great, but I believe Luke is a better passer, and I think he's better at making plays for others. Even if it's not passing the ball, I think setting a screen or making a cut, whatever it is, I think Luke is so complete as a player. He can really do it all, and with the experience he has, I think he's got the right mindset to help this team win. And not saying Sasha didn't, of course, but I think there are two different players. And I believe Sigma, again, if they add the scorer, I think Sigma is a perfect complement to this team. And I really believe he's a better playmaker, even though, of course, it's close and Sasha is amazing. And that's why he got the NBA job, obviously.
Of course. Now, and the reason for me to make this question is just to give the Olympiacos fans and our listeners in general a comparison of what they can gain and what they are losing. I think it's safe to say that Sasha Vzenkov is a better player. He is.
Yeah, of course.
And he adds in more aspects of the game that Sigma doesn't. Sasha Vzenkov is a way, way, way better shooter, for example. His ability to play without the ball, without dribbling, it's absolutely incredible. His off-ball reads and play is off the charts. That's why he was the MVP and one of the best players. Now, can Olympiacos do this transition and stay at the top and compete? Yes, they can. Can Luke Sigma be a very important piece for that? Yes, absolutely. And his playmaking is a big part of that. Like you just said, they need like that other scorer, that other high-level player that will put it all together. And Sigma can be a glue piece, a piece that makes it all fit together. And that's what we can expect from Luke Sigma this season.
Yeah, I think that was the perfect description right there. Like, obviously, if you just replaced Sasha Vzenkov with Luke Sigma, they're not a better team now, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But if it is Luke Sigma and they get the scorer, the go-to guy, I think that team is just as good, and I think they're going to be competing for championships and for the Final Four. So I believe Luke Sigma is an amazing addition to this Olympiacos team, for sure.
Sigma is certainly something for the Olympiacos fans to be excited about, and I am very high on his feet within this Olympiacos team. But something to be excited about is also the next player that they brought, the Serbian big man Nikola Milutinov, that had played previously for Olympiacos for 5 seasons. He's now back to help this team to try to achieve glory after being second on the previous season. On his EuroLeague career, where he has played for 9 seasons, he has averages of 7.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 0.9 assists, and 0.6 blocks per game. He is a well-known high-level player at the European level. And Diogo, I'm convinced that Milutinov is a great addition to this Olympiacos front court. And between him and Fall, this center position has immense depth and will be one of the strongest of the competition. How important will be Milutinov to this Olympiacos team?
So important. I think he's going to be one of the best centers to play in Europe, top 3, maybe top 2. I think he's a very good player. His presence inside is felt right away. He's a very good rebounder. He can score inside. And I think he's a high IQ player too. He can pass the ball. And he had an amazing run in the World Cup with a Serbian team. I think he's a very good player. And I believe this is the type of center that Olympiacos needed. A guy that can also contribute offensively, more so than Fall, who was kind of more as a defensive player. And I still think Fall will be important to this team. But I believe Milutinov is the best center on the team, and I think he's going to have a huge impact on Olympiacos.
If you are an EuroLeague fan, you are already accustomed with Milutinov and how good he is. If you are new to the EuroLeague, we just urge you to go and look into what he did during the World Cup, and you will see how impactful he can be. And he is a big piece that this Olympiacos team is adding to the next season. And I agree with you. Fall as a backup is a very high level. He's a good starter as well, but as a backup, he's very high level. But Milutinov's ability to add on both sides of the court, it will really, really be a great addition for this Olympiacos roster.
Do you think they're going to start Milutinov from the jump?
I think so, because of what we were speaking before about Sigma. Sigma is more of a playmaker, so I think that they can use another front court partner that can provide more offense than Fall does. I think that's the main reason. And I don't think there is really a status thing going on with Fall here. I think they will be fine. What I can see happening is alternating starts across the season, depending on matchups and stuff like that.
Yeah, I
think
I can see that.
Yeah, but in general, I think it's Milutinov's job and he will be their main center. I think you agree with me on that.
Yeah, I was just asking because I was thinking about this and like Fall has been very good for Olympiacos in the past few seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has been a big part of that defense just because of his presence inside the paint. Obviously, with no 3 seconds, they can just have him there protecting the paint. And he was huge in that series against Fenerbahce. So I was kind of wondering how would you think that they were going to do it, but I do agree. I think they will alternate it depending on matchups. Yeah.
Actually, let's get to that right away and let's talk about what we expect to see from Olympiacos during this season, their strengths and their key players, and what outcome we expect to see from them, and also what concerns we have. And I think we went over the concerns when we're speaking. They are missing that one piece that will elevate them to the top of the standings or to the top of the power rankings or projected standings heading into this season. How do you expect them to be playing? What do you think will be crucial for them? Because what you were mentioning about, there were two very important things about this Olympiacos team last season. The way that they defended, the way that they shared the ball. And some big pieces that were very important on that went away. Slukas is not with the team anymore. Sasha Vzankov is not with the team anymore. And Fall was such an important piece for the way that they defended. How do you see them adjusting all of that, and how do you expect to see them playing this season?
I think they're going to try to maintain the same type of playing style, like just being so good defensively and then sharing the ball offensively. It's just with different guys. I mean, with Milutinov, even though Fall is that big dude who can just stay in the paint and protect the rim, I think Milutinov is a very big guy as well, and he can stay and he can protect the rim also. And I think he's a better rebounder than Fall. And like you said before, offensively, it just gives them a better option. But I believe if they do add this go-to guy, this scorer, I think they actually need more of a small forward than a shooting guard, because even though Papanikolaou is an amazing player, as we know, I think at this stage of his career, he probably should be on a backup role. This is my opinion. I don't know if you agree with me, but
I
think
agree with you. Yes.
Yeah. If they're able to add that guy, I think they're going to be able to do so many great things. I think they're going to be able to play so many different play styles. They can run. They can defend. They're still going to be elite defensively, regardless of who comes or if nobody comes. They're going to be a great team defensively because that's just how Bart Tsoukas operates. And this is another part of that team. Of course, they are so well coached that they're always going to be a very good team. But I do think they kept the personnel to play the same style.
Yeah, and on Papanikolaou, I think that he is a high-level player that will be closing games for them. I just don't think that you will want him to be having a very heavy load of minutes game after game and during the regular season. you will want him to be at his best in the high moments of the season, and you will want to have a roster that allows him to not need to play such heavy dose of minutes during the regular season. And for me, that's one of the keys for this roster. And then it comes down to who is their go-to guy in the clutch time. And this was something that transitions from last season. And that missing piece is the key for all of this. It's the key for the way that they will be able to play on both sides of the court. It's the key for the way, for how high they can reach in the standings. But will you agree with me that I believe that there is a continuity, despite they losing some big pieces. There is a continuity in philosophy in the big part of the core of this group. And I think that they, at the very least, are a playoff team that will try to contend to stay at the top of the EuroLeague.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because, again, I do think they're going to get another guy. And even if they don't, they are still an amazing team. But I do think they're going to get one. And I think that guy is going to help them a lot. But since we're speaking on it, I kind of have a question for you. Which type of player, and we know it's a go-to guy, but like, can you give me like a comparison of a player that they can add a type of player like him?
Well, for me, they have an elite guard on Thomas Walkup, and I think that they can use, because they have so much depth on the guard position with Cannon and with Nigel, I think that they can use a forward player, and of course this one is taken already, and a player like Juancho, for example, would be elite for them, a player that can create offensively. But for me, a good connector for this Olympiacos team will be a player that, and of course it's easy for us to just pick in any elite forward of the EuroLeague, but if they can get a player that can become what Nigel Hayes-Davies was for Fenerbahce last year, or if they can have a player that can provide them with playmaking on both sides of the court, that can be an elite defender for wing players, but can also score on the other side of the court, that will be the type of player that I will be looking for them.
Yeah, that's a great one. I was thinking, when I thought about this question, my mind immediately went to Fenerbahce and to those two wings with Nigel Hayes-Davies and Deshaun Pierre. I think that type of player would be great for a team like Olympiacos, just because of the style that they play, being elite defensively and then being able to score on the other side. And I think those two guys are amazing. So a type of player like that would be great for this team, for sure.
And I also wonder if they can go a totally different direction and continue to use just examples from the EuroLeague. A big guard like Wade Baldwin that can defend, but is also a clear go-to guy offensively. I wonder if they might end up needing more of a go-to guy that is reliable in the end of games. And it's funny that I mentioned Wade, because we have mentioned over and over again how that's what he needs to improve on, in being reliable in the end of games. But a big guard like that can be a player that that can give them that. And there is a player that has been talked and being linked into the EuroLeague. And when you made me that question, I was trying to go over the potential players that can be available. And a player like Terrence Davies, I don't know.
Yeah, I was expecting you to say that name.
Yeah, a player like Terrence Davies, because he has the size to play the three, but he's more of a guard, but he had more of a guard and he has the size to play the three. He can be that go-to guy in the end of games. He can play defensively, has the tools to play defensively. And he can be the type of player that really can elevate this team. And while the forward 3-4 that can play like Nigel or Deshaun Pierre, I understand the appeal for that. I could also go the other direction and look into a player like Terrence Davies that maybe can be on his way to the EuroLeague as a great connective piece for this Olympiacos team.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think Terrence would be very good in EuroLeague. and he would be a great fit with this Olympiacos team. I do agree with that.
We do expect to see Olympiacos signing at least one more player, and we will be keeping track of that. So you guys make sure to subscribe to the podcast and following us on Twitter at Ethos Euroleague. We will get you guys up to date as soon as that happens and the implications of that. But let's now switch our focus into another Greek giant, and let's talk about Panathinaikos and, oh man, the turnover that they had from last season to this one. They were needing to take a step up, and they certainly did that. They have 11 new players and a new head coach. And let's start with the head coach. What impact do you expect to see from Ataman on this Panathinaikos roster?
I think it's going to be great. I think, obviously, from the names that they added, I mean, we're going to get to them in a second. But, of course, Ataman winning those back-to-back championships with Efes, we know that whatever team he's on, he's going to want to win. I mean, he's a winning coach, and he has shown that he has the ability to lead a team to a championship. And with the way Panathinaikos had been struggling the past few seasons, I think this is a great addition, and I believe he is ready to turn things around in Panathinaikos.
Sometimes it's that simple. You pick a high-level coach with a winning pedigree. You put him together with a high-level historical club with winning pedigree, and it just works and it just makes sense. So that might be what we are witnessing here. But let's look into the 11 players that they brought in. And let's start with the guards. First of all, mention to Mario Grigonis. That is one of the continuations for this Panathinaikos team. Kalatzakis is also staying with the team. Samodrov, a very promising young player, is also staying with the team. And Matsoukas in the front court is also a continuation for this season. But let's look into the guards that came in. And we had Kostas Loukas, Luka Vildoza, both players that were playing in the EuroLeague. And we also had the additions of Dimitri Moratis, Kyle Guy, and Jerian Grant. Kyle Guy for the Juventud Badalona last season had averages of 11.8 points, 1.7 rebounds, 2.6 assists, and 0.5 steals per game in the Europe Cup. While Grant, after playing one season for Milano, last season played in the Europe Cup, having averages of 14.9 points, 3.2 rebounds, 6.1 assists, and 1.3 steals per game. But Loukas, Vildoza, Moraitis, Kyle Guy, Jerian Grant, Marius Grigonis, they are not short on depth in the guard position.
Not at all. I mean, when you talk about guard play, can you get better than this? I mean, obviously, we have Maccabi with Lorenzo and Wade. But I think this team is so stacked. Like, they have five or six very good guards who can play at a high, high level in EuroLeague. So I think it's going to be very exciting. Obviously, Luka Vildoza has been a very good guard in EuroLeague for the past few years. Sloukas, I mean, of course, one of the clutchest players in EuroLeague history. He is older now, but he still contributes at such a high level and was one of the most important players for Olympiacos' run last season. So going to the rival now, I think that's going to be such an exciting matchup when they play against each other. It's going to be awesome to watch. They have a very good guard. They are very good at the guard position, and I'm very excited to watch them play because I think Ataman, we know Ataman loves to play guards. He started this whole guard play thing in EuroLeague with Efes, with Misic and Larkin. So I think he can do something similar with these guys. They don't have two guys like top dogs like Larkin and Misic, but they have like five or six guys who can play at that level any given day. So I think it's going to be very exciting.
You just said that, and about having one of these guards being one of the best players in the EuroLeague. Maybe that's not what we will see, but we will just have elite guard play game after game. And you mentioned Wade and Lorenzo, and we also have Monaco with Mike James, Kemba, Okobo, and Floyd. And he's actually injured, and we wish him a good recovery. But when we do our battles for the best guards, best backcourt of the EuroLeague, I think some teams will have the first, the second, the third, or will have two or three in the top 10.
I mean, last year that battle was close. I think this year is going to be even better because it's kind of ridiculous how stacked the EuroLeague is at the guard position. Like,
and
Panathinaikos
is just an example of that with these excellent backcourt players that they have on their roster. And if we have something on this roster that is special, is the guard depth and the high level quality of those guards. And I actually have a question for you regarding that. How many three guard lineups do you think we can see this team playing? And do you think that these guards have the size and the ability to play defensively to be able to, for us to see some three guard lineups in the court often for them?
I mean, I think it's going to be tough. I believe a guy like Grigonis has decent size to play some minutes at the three, but it's going to be tough. I think for sure two of these guys will always be on the court at all times. I think they're going to run two guard lineups the whole 40 minutes because obviously with five or six guys at this level, you have to play them, right? I mean, you can only have 12 players suited up, so two of them will have to be on the court at all times. And the fact that they have this type of rotation is amazing. But to run three guard lineups, I think it's going to be very hard because they don't really have size like that. And maybe Grigonis can run some minutes at the three, but I don't think we're going to see a lot of it. But at times, maybe we can see something. But I think it's got to be with Grigonis at the three.
Wing play will be crucial for this roster. The Greek team added two forwards that they expect big things from during this season, Papapetrou, and one of the biggest signings of this summer, Juancho Hernan Gomez. They are lacking that wing player, but these two forwards that certainly will give them many minutes at the three position as well. How do you expect them to impact this roster?
I think they're going to have a huge impact here. And especially Juancho, of course. I mean, he's such an amazing player. And I think for this level, he's going to be awesome. And Papapetrou, too. I mean, he didn't have the greatest season for Partizan last year. But when he was with Panathinaikos the year before and a couple years before that, he was a high-level player. And maybe he can get back to that on a role that where he doesn't have to be the best player on the floor for them. I think he can help them a lot. Backing up Juancho, I think it's going to be very interesting, and I think they can work that out with Juancho being the main guy and then Papapetrou coming off the bench and filling those shoes. I think it's going to be very good.
They don't lack talent on this team, and Juancho joining the EuroLeague, and it was an interesting offseason because we had a lot of transitions between EuroLeague and the NBA. We had Petrushev, Misic, Vzenkov all going to the NBA, but EuroLeague received players like Willie, like Juancho, like Kemba Walker, and
Jabari Parker. I mean, so many.
Exactly. It's so many players coming. And what this signalizes is that the level of the EuroLeague is rising, and we have reasons to be excited about the next years. And we know that the EuroLeague is expanding. There is talk about games between NBA teams and EuroLeague teams. There is talk about the EuroLeague teams eventually participating in the in-season tournament of the NBA. And the level is really, really high. And I think Juancho especially, but of course Papapetrou will be a key piece for this Panathinaikos team. But Juancho is a player that will be determinant for their aspirations to win it all and to compete for titles. But before we get to what we expect from this team, let's look into their bigger players and their poor forwards and centers, knowing that Juancho and Papapetrou will also play some of that, and that's why that wing player is something that they are missing. But let's then look into the players that they added this season for their poor forward and center positions. This team comes into this season with 11 new players. And besides Papapetrou and Juancho, that will be playing some of the poor 4 minutes as well, we have Mitoglou, Lasort, and Pasharlovsky that will play crucial role for these teams in their front court positions, in their center position, their poor 4 position. What do you expect to see from them?
Well, I expect them to be very, very good at this level. Lasort last season had an amazing year with Partizan. So, and I don't think he's going to be anything short of that. I think he's going to be amazing again. And with a guy like Balcerowski, who can stretch the floor and who is a very good player at the center position, he's versatile. He's agile. So I think they actually can play together. And I think they would be a very good fit, honestly. So I believe Panathinaikos is very well served at the big man spot. And I think these two guys will be awesome for them.
I'm very excited about seeing Balcerowski in the EuroLeague. I think Mitoglou showed some promise in the where he is at with the Greek national team, especially in their preparation.
For sure. I mean, yeah. Before he got hurt, he was playing at such an elite level, and he can really help this team as well.
Yeah, I think that this trio of players, they can just give such different looks to the other team's ability of Mitoglou to stretch the floor, all the way that Lesort plays, Barshalovsky's physicality, mobility for his size. They just have so many different looks, and let's just see how this all fits together and all of these new pieces fits together. They have 11 new players, a new coach. They are speaking about adding one more piece, and we heard talks about Svi that now is signed with Boston, with the Boston Celtics, but it's just a partial guarantee contract, so he is still on the table, but they are looking to add one more piece to this already very deep roster. How do you think this will all fit together? What are the strengths, your concerns regarding this team, the key players for you? What outcome we expect to see from this Panathinaikos team? And I have mentioned it several times during this episode. I think that wing play will be crucial, but they have pieces because they have Grigonis that can play up the lineup. Juancho and Papa Petro can clearly play the three position. So they have pieces to fill all the positions on the court without a problem. But I think that if they are to add one more player, that's where they will be looking at to add. But what about you? What do you expect to see from this Panathinaikos team?
Well, first of all, I expect them to be in contention for the big stages, like the Final Four and obviously playoffs, of course. But I do think they are a contender to make it to the Final Four and compete for a championship. I think the mentality to win is going to be there. I think Adaman will try to install a winning culture in there with the guys that he's headed. And I think this team can actually work on the court. Like, I think they can fit together. Like you said, they are missing a wing who is like a true three. Juancho and Papa Pedro can play the three, but at this level, maybe they're more of a power forward. But in my opinion, I think their front court, the three players on the front court that should be playing the most minutes should be Juancho at the three, Lesort at the four, and Balsarowski at the five. But I wanted to ask you this. Do you think they will use Juancho more at the three or at the four?
I think he will be their starting three, and that he will play most of his minutes at the three. Now, my question is, are they willing to go heavy on Lesort and Barshalovsky on the poor forward and center positions? That's for me what I don't know, because I wonder if they might lack shooting. And we know that how powerful their backcourt is, but I don't know if they can get away with heavy minutes of that duo. And if that's not the case, then we will see eventually Juancho starting at the four. But who will start at the three? Probably Papa Petro, but they will have no backup in that rotation for that position. They have many ways that they can use this roster, and they have so much depth and so many high-level players that they will be fine, that's for sure. And I agree with you. The ceiling of this team is to fight to be on the Final Four, and they have legit aspirations to be there and to fight to be there. Now, Juancho is their most important player, because if I have to select a player from Panathinaikos in this moment that will be in the fight to be the MVP of this edition of the EuroLeague, I'm not favoring him to be at this moment, but if I have to pick one, will be Juancho. I think he's that important for this team. If he'll play the three or the four, I honestly don't think it will change that a whole lot. But I think that as the roster stands right now, he is their starting small forward. But what about you? Where do you see? How do you see them starting, especially those front court positions?
Okay, so the way I look at it is like, the guards are all small guards. I mean, Grigonis has some size, but Vildoza, Kalgas, Lucas, Grant, they're all small guards. So that's why, in my opinion, I think they should go with the front court of Juancho at the three, Lesort at the four, and Balsarowski at the five. Or it can be Mitoglou, I mean, depending on matchups, but those three guys, Mitoglou, Lesort, and Balsarowski, two of them in there. So, and why is that? Because having such small guards, like, if you look at Efes, those years they won the championship, Misic is a big guard. And even though Larkin's small, Misic is a big dude who can guard twos at will. But then these guys, they're all small. So I think they need to use that size on the front court to protect the guards. And that's why I think Juancho should be mostly at the three. And even Papa Petro, he's also a big guy. So him at the three, that works as well. But I believe those two guys should play mostly at the three. This, of course, while the team is currently constructed. If they add another guy who is a more pure three, maybe I would move Juancho to the four. But I believe he should be playing at the three most of the minutes as currently constructed.
I agree with you. I just told you, I think that Juancho should be starting at the three for this team. And it comes down to how they want to line up their front court. And I think Papa Petro off the bench makes a lot of sense because of having exactly that backup small forward that can have some size on the court. What for me is so intriguing about this team is like defensively, how they will work defensively. They will need to defend as a unit, as a team. They will need to be that good defensively. They will need to perform as a team and defend as a team because in terms of individual defenders, they don't have elite solutions in those positions right now.
Well, I think Juancho has to be that guy to be the top defender on this team. And I think he has to lead the way for them. Ideally, I believe he should be guarding fours, and especially at the EuroLeague level. But I think he's going to have to guard threes because I believe, like we talked about before, they're going to go with the big front court and he's going to have to guard threes. But I think he's going to be able to do a good job at that. The fact that they have so many guards maybe can help them like be more aggressive on defense, knowing that if they have to come out, they have those guys to back them up. And that's a part of having a deep team is for you to be able to have a full rotation. And I think these guys have the ability to do that.
Earlier on this episode, you made me a great question about what player I would add to the Olympiacos roster. And I will turn that question to you, but maybe I will be asking and answering because, well, for Olympiacos, I think that a big guard that can play the three like Terence Davis would make a lot of sense. Here, I think that a player like Nigel Hayes-Davis will be just perfect. Just like it's this player, you put it there and it's perfect. But who
I mean, is there any team where Nigel Hayes-Davis would be perfect?
That's a very, 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 very good point, actually. He will just fit anywhere and it will be just perfect to anywhere. But for this team and for Panathinaikos specifically, they have very strong front court, very strong back court, and there is like in the wings, they have good players. They will have very good minutes at the three. They will have very good minutes at the three, but they don't have a pure wing, exactly as you described it. Is there a player that you think that comes to mind that you can think of that will fit that description and what this team needs?
Yeah, I do, honestly. And I don't think this guy is much talked about, but after watching the World Cup, I think he was very good for his team. And it's Isaac Bonga. I think a guy like that, I think
that's
he's
a great
defender.
Great one.
Yeah, I think he's a very good defender. And offensively, for Germany, he was at a very good level, especially when Franz was hurt. And I believe for this team that has all the firepower offensively with Juancho and all of those guards, I think a guy like this could be a great fit for that team to be the top defender. And then offensively, he can hit some shots too. And they have enough creators to give him shots, open shots, I mean. So I think that would be a great one.
Yeah, that will be a perfect piece for them to add on this team. And even if you weren't to start, he just adds that wing defender that they need. So that's a very, very good pickup. And you went deep to grab it. And you did great picking that player up. What we have heard is that they are heading into a different direction. And I think that for some reason they want even more firepower. What will be... Yeah. We are here for it. We love it. We take it.
We talked about Efes last year that they didn't shoot enough and they didn't play fast enough. I think Adamin is trying to correct that this year for this team.
No, that's actually a good point because they will be doing all of those things that we thought that they should have been doing. And from my point of view, just in terms of a compliment, a player like Bonga would be ideal for this team. But for another side, they will be up there with the best. And sometimes it comes down to the team with more talent and they will just be able to pick and choose the matchups that fit them the best from game to game. And with so much firepower as they have, they will be able to do it at an insanely high level. And this Panathinaikos team, we can expect a bounce back from them, and we both say the same. We expect them to be in the fight to reach the Final Four and certainly in the fight to the playoffs. But I really urge you guys to stick around until our last episode of these previews when we will go over the power rankings and we will see how many teams will be on that fight and how good the level of this EuroLeague season will be. with this, we reach the end of this episode. Tomorrow, we will be bringing you our preview of Monaco and Alba, followed by our preview of Barcelona and Bayern Munich. We have many interesting teams to keep track of during this off-season, and we will go over every single one of the 18 teams. So make sure you are subscribed to the podcast and also follow us on Twitter at Ethos Euroleague. As always, I will be talking with you guys soon.
Bye, guys. See you on next episode.